If you're here this morning with and you've got your Bible with you, let's open it up to Acts chapter 2 because it is Pentecost Sunday. If you don't have a Bible with you, just grab one from underneath the pew in front of you and turn to page. Let's see, what page have we got there? Who's got the pew Bible? 771. And if you're a younger person or maybe second language, open up your Action Bible that we've been giving hundreds of these things away, like a comic book kind of Bible. You would turn to page 722, and that's the image you would get. The Holy Spirit coming down on people, and there's tongues of fire on people. So we can kind of visualize what's happening here. So in Acts chapter 2, though, just before we jump into that story, I want to give just a bit of context so we know what's happening here just before we read it. So we would have gone through the Gospels where Jesus had come, he was born, he died on the cross, he came back to life, he rose again, started hanging out with people, started talking with them. Then he ascends into heaven, he tells his disciples, hey guys, just wait here. Unfortunately, Judas decides to end his life, and so they have to replace Judas, one of the 12 disciples, with Matthias. And they were told to wait then. And that's where the book of Acts kind of jumped into this story. You got 12 disciples again. They're waiting for what Jesus had promised them. They're hanging out. They're praying together. And then we read this part of the story. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And Pentecost just means, and so we talk about the Pentecostal church, it just means 50. It's a Greek word or a Hebrew word that means just, it just means 50. And if we were to go back to the day of Passover, which maybe wouldn't mean a lot to us, we're not Jewish, many of us here today, we'd go back to Easter. So 7 weeks ago. So 7 weeks ago, and there's 7 days in the week, 7 times 7 is 49. So this morning, we're very close to 50. It just means after 50 days of Jesus and Easter going on, we now join this story. Verse 2, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. See, I just feel like this morning, when Holy Spirit shows up, he fills it all. Not some, not the front row, not the elite, not the well-dressed. He fills us all up. There's nowhere that you can be out of God's presence. He fills the whole place. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them. How many? Who? Thank you, Jesus. We're filled. We're going to be filled this morning. We're going to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want to focus on Holy Spirit showing up in mighty and dramatic ways and him doing something brand new that was never there before. When the day of Pentecost happened, it's a move of the Spirit that had never been witnessed before until that day. Jesus said when he leaves the earth, something miraculous will happen, bigger than even some of the things that he had done. Now, of course, his death on the cross, and so forgiveness of our sins, so we have eternal life. Okay, you can't get any bigger than that one. But next to that one, maybe second in line, if we could say, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit shows up. And we'll look at some scriptures that will make it so evident and clear to us that Holy Spirit is a person, and he's part of the Godhead, the triune Godhead. And there are scriptures here that we'll look at together that will disprove or discredit those that are like Jesus only or God only or it's three. And so we'll look at that together. We need to know that. So this is almost like what I feel like. It's not the finish line for the Holy Spirit, but we're jumping into a story where all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows up in a majestic and massive way. But we need to understand what led up to this point as well. Where did the Holy Spirit come from? Where has he ascended from? Let's look at a biography of Holy Spirit now together. So if you are able to, so we're in Acts, and so the gospel book that was just before that is John. So we go back to John chapter 14. So just a couple pages back in your Bible or on your screen there. So John chapter 14. If you have a red letter Bible, which many of us do, so we would see that it's representing that Jesus is speaking. And so we would see, what is Jesus saying about Holy Spirit after his death? So John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you will obey what I have commanded you. And I will ask, Jesus will ask God the Father, and he will give us another counselor to be with us forever, Who is this person? Who is this counselor? It's the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Spirit. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him. We can't really see Holy Spirit. I wish we could just kind of like hug Holy Spirit or something. You know, we can't quite see him. But you know him because he lives with you and he'll be in you. See, God and the church isn't just a Sunday morning experience. It's a relationship forever. It's like a marriage. You know this person. Now you're intimate with this person. You know all their moving parts. It's a person. It has a personality. I won't leave you as an orphan, God says. Oh, I just love that. You don't leave here Sunday morning as like just an outcast or, oh, I didn't really quite understand what's going on. God leaves with you. Holy Spirit leaves with you. And you get to interact with him all day long. It's just brilliant. I will come to you. If we move down to verse 25, all of this I've spoken while still with you. Jesus is saying this. All of this I'm speaking to you. But the counselor, who is the counselor again? Really clear, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said. All these things that we try and remember, good luck trying to put that in your head, but the Holy Spirit will reveal them to us and remind us of these scriptures. That's so sweet. Peace I leave with you. Don't be stressed out about this. Think, oh my gosh, I have to learn this whole thing. Like, get in there and you go to sleep on it. I'll put it near my bones to sleep on it and hopefully it will just, you know, download. I wish there was just a download I could put like I was a robot or something. Like, don't stress out. Peace. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't be worried. It's the Holy Spirit. He's a wonderful human being. He's a wonderful, not human being, he's a wonderful part of the Godhead, if I could say it this way. You want to get to know him. He's brilliant. So we've just read that Jesus asked God the Father to bless humanity with Holy Spirit. And as we receive the Holy Spirit, it will remind us and refresh us and help us. I want to skip forward just a little bit. So we see in the Gospels that Jesus, this is his story. We move to the book of Acts, the moving of the church, the you know, church is being planted out of the day of Pentecost. And then we'll move forward just a little bit. So we're going to go all the way to Ephesians. And so now there's a church planted in Ephesus. And Paul is the leader at that point. He's the pastor. He's the deacon. He's the apostle, whatever you want to say. He's planted a church, and now he's helping them understand how to be a church, how to be Christ-like. And it says here in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. The word of truth is like this. It's like the gospel of salvation, the good news. Having believed, we believe in our hearts, not in our heads. We believe deeply. And we were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. I wish we could have a mark. We wish we could see that, but we know inside it because we feel it. In verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the day of those who are God's possession to the praise and glory of God. So it's a deposit so that we know where we're going. Because we often say the prayer of salvation, get to know Jesus, repent of your sins, walk in his ways. And then, so how do we know that we're in? How do we know that we've got a, you know, a heavenly destination? Well, we know because Holy Spirit is a deposit, so we know that we're going there. See, God's like put a deposit on you. He says, you're mine. And I know where you're going to go. Because you're my son and you're my daughter. And one day you'll be with me permanently. Face to face. Oh, yes, a deposit. So we know. We have confidence in that. Let's look at Jesus' timeline just quickly. We're looking a little bit about Holy Spirit biography, a little bit how he showed up. But I want to look at Jesus just for a moment here. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. So we're going back, we're kind of, you know, flipping around here in these kind of 100 pages-ish. So in Luke chapter 2, we look a little bit about Jesus' story here. So we saw Jesus in the beginning of the Gospels. Jesus is born. We see Jesus here at the age of 12 as a preteen. So Jesus' family would often go up to Jerusalem from Nazareth. There was a temple. They would worship there on a yearly basis and other times. And Jesus' parents went with lots of times, usually relatives and friends and family. So it was a bit of an entourage, it was a bit of a gathering of people. They do the Passover, they have a great time. Then they're headed back to Nazareth. And they're thinking, well, Jesus is probably with, you know, a cousin. Have you ever done that? You're at a party or you're with some friends and all of a sudden you're like, Well, we know that he's here, or like the church as a good example. We know he's in the four walls. Where exactly, we're not totally sure. Or you're out at the camp. You're like, hey, we're at the camp. It's 50 acres. We know that they're with friends. They're somewhere on the property. And usually by the time you want to go home, you're like, you know, let's go. You know, where's your jacket? And where's your water bottle? And where did your socks go? You know, all these kind of things, right? So you check in. You go, okay, well, we know he's here, but we're not exactly sure. And so Jesus' family just thought they were going back home. They thought, well, he's with somebody. And then they kind of, on their way, like, okay, he's not, oh my gosh, we lost Jesus. Can you imagine Mary? Like, I just lost the Son of God. Crikeys, man. Like, I have a 14-year-old, is our youngest kid. And if she went missing, wow. Well, I would be emotional, man. I would be like, she's a girl. She doesn't drive. Like, I would be like, kind of wigging out a little bit. I'd be freaking out. And so we see here in Luke chapter 2, verse 48, his parents go looking for Jesus back in Jerusalem. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, his mother said to him. Luke 2:48. Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. That's a nice way to put that. I don't think I would be anxious. I think I'd be, yeah, like, hello, Jesus, like, ah. Verse 49, why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Or didn't you know I had to be about my father's business? Wow, that's unbelievable. Jesus' birth, see Jesus as a preteen. Then let's see Jesus at the age of 30. At the age of 30, he gets baptized and he's tempted in the wilderness. Then he begins to preach and to heal the sick. But in Matthew chapter 3, we see Jesus' baptism. And this is where Holy Spirit shows up again. This is what I want to show you here. So we see Jesus, his whole lifestyle up to 30. In Matthew 6, or Matthew 3, I apologize, 16, it says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So we see very, very clearly here, three distinct people. A triune Godhead. There's somebody in heaven speaking to his Son. This is my Son I love very much. And the Holy Spirit at the same time is ascending. It's in the same moment at the same time in history. It's very, very clear. And when people try and argue about was God up in heaven and then all of a sudden God came down in the form of Jesus and then when Jesus checked out, he became Holy Spirit. There's no truth to that, actually, when you look at that scripture. This is the defining moment. Mark up your Bible, mark that page. It's very, very clear. We see three distinct people. We see God the Father, again, a voice. We see God the Son getting baptized. We see God the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. So it's very, very clear. And so I want to just ask the quick question here. It's like, as we try and live our lives, you've come here this morning, you know, for whatever reason, you know, this is your home church. You've been here forever. Like, I actually built the walls, you know, some of us would say. I've run the wires here. I've helped lay the carpet. I donated money for the chairs. Or maybe you're here this morning, and again, it's your first time here. But we see clearly, if we're going to be Christ-like, when we leave this place, you're here this morning just worshiping God. You hear the message from God. Now we have to go live like Jesus. Well, to follow Jesus, we follow Jesus into baptism. We follow Jesus into being filled with the Holy Spirit. Like if the Son of God needs the Holy Spirit, I think we might need Holy Spirit. Just maybe throwing that out there, just as an idea. Because Jesus was perfect, and he had Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know. I'm not perfect like the rest of you. I need Holy Spirit. I hope you do too. And so let's just pray together. You don't have to repeat after me. I just want you to just kind of just open up. Again, it's not your mind into weirdness. It's about your heart. So open up your heart. Say, God, I don't even fully understand you yet. But I would like the Holy Spirit. I need help in my life. I can't be Christ-like without you. So let me just pray for us now. So if you feel comfortable, you close your eyes, bow your head. If you want to raise your hands, you want to kneel, you want to keep your eyes open, it's all good. So Heavenly Father, God, I just, in a sense, I feel like I'm opening up my hands to you because I would like to receive a gift, and it's a free gift. It's the Holy Spirit. So I come before you with an open heart, longing for your presence. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the gift of salvation and the promise of your Holy Spirit. Today, I humbly ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit, to guide my thoughts, renew my mind, and strengthen my faith. Holy Spirit, come and dwell within me. Shine your light into every corner of my soul. Replace my fear with courage, my weakness with strength, and my confusion with wisdom. I need wisdom from above. Lead me in truth. Teach me to walk in your ways. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So we see God as three distinct personalities. And as a denomination, when you think about the Pentecostal denomination as a church, there are many denominations, but because we call ourselves Pentecostal, we really believe in this truth, and so we want to look deeper into it. So if you were to have a membership package, there's all the legalese part in the front, how we hire and how we deal with restoration and marriage. But at the very back, it talks about a triune Godhead in there. What's our, what does it say there? It says, a statement of essential truths and practices as a denomination. And we base it off of scripture. You can see there's a small printing here and then a large chunk of scriptures that support this thought. And so I want to read our doctrinal stance as a POC or a Pentecostal denomination on the Holy Spirit and a triune Godhead. This is what it says. There's one God, the creator who exists eternally in unity as three equal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The triune Godhead is loving, holy, infinite, just, and worthy of all worship. The Father accomplishes his plan of salvation through both redemption and judgment. All things will be subject to him, and his kingdom will have no end. The Father sent the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of Mary when she was a virgin. Jesus became fully human while remaining fully God. That's worth a discussion at some point. Anointed by the Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit, Jesus revealed the Father and the kingdom of God by his sinless life, teaching, and miracles. After he died for our sin, God raised him from the dead, and he's now at the right hand of God the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son and gives life throughout all of creation. The Holy Spirit draws people to repentance and new life in Jesus through the Spirit's indwelling, through the Holy Spirit indwelling us. The Father and the Son are also present for everybody, making them children of God. This is our doctrinal, our theological stance, what we believe about Holy Spirit. And this was originated or written over 100 years ago. And it happened right after this gigantic revival. I've got a picture here this morning of, I don't know him personally, William J. Seymour. He was born just at the turn of the 20th century. 1906 is when they started meeting. He was a son of Louisiana slaves. And they started meeting in this tiny congregation in a two-story building in downtown LA. And here's the building here. And it quickly became a passionate revival and a work of the Holy Spirit. And the movement crossed strict cultural and national borders, as you can see even the color of his skin. Back then, that was frowned upon in the U.S. And God just moved in just a miraculous way that it just spread all over the world. Mexico, Canada, Britain, Scandinavia, Africa, India, China. There are like 500 million people that call themselves Pentecostal out of a movement that started right there, just a house church, just a handful of people, through slaves. Like, wow, isn't that just absolutely a miracle? Unbelievable. And so we look at that doctrinal stance, it came out of something like that. And so we're here today. I don't know what God is doing in terrorists. I don't know what he's doing in this church or this congregation or through his camp, but isn't it fun to be a part of? We get to be a part of that story. So when we look back at our history, it started here, but now we're continuing its history into our 91st anniversary here as the Pentecostal Church in Terrace. Wow, that is worth celebrating. 120 years ago, one of the greatest things Christianity had seen, one of the biggest revivals that came out of that. So if we look at the Holy Spirit and the way that he moves over the years, the ways that we've seen him work in our own lives, his qualities and his characteristics as a person. I just want to give you five characteristics of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks. I'm going to move quickly. I'm not even going to hold my Bible. I'm going to read it here. If you want to take notes, it'll be on the screen. You can check it out later, watch it online. So Acts 13:2, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Spirit said. See, the Holy Spirit speaks. Revelation 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear what this Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. Yes. The Holy Spirit intercedes. He's not a force, he's a person. Romans chapter 8:26. In the same way that the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us. As we groan, that words can express. The Holy Spirit, he testifies. John 15:26. When the counselor comes, we know who the counselor is. He's the Holy Spirit. I will send to you by the Father, and the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father will testify about God. We know that. The Holy Spirit leads. We would see in Acts 8:29, as Philip went to a person to explain the gospel, the Spirit told Philip to go. We see in Romans 8:14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. The Holy Spirit guides us. Oh, I need a guide in my life. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. We can see the Holy Spirit, he says things, he hears things, he intercedes, he testifies, he tells, he leads, he guides. I need that kind of person in my life. I need the best person that can help me in my life to do that. I want to share a story with you. I'll do my absolute best to make it clear. There's so many moving parts to this true story, but I will just kind of share some of the highlights. There was a young couple in Vancouver who I know personally, and they felt like, we need to have a church downtown Vancouver. God, there is no churches downtown. All these skyscrapers are going up and people can't find church. They have to go drive somewhere to go find a church. They had this burden on their heart. And God was like, yep, we're going to do this thing. And would you trust me with this? And they're like, do you know how much buildings are downtown? Do you know how much a garage, you know, shack is downtown? Like, we're talking about multi-millions of dollars for anything. And it just happened that this old Scientology church building came available, and it was like millions of dollars. And they thought, well, God, you've kind of led us, you've guided us to this point, and so we're feeling like this is supposed to happen. And from one conversation to another, the favor of God was upon them. They were able to secure some funding. They were able to get some loans from different individuals. So they were able to purchase this building. They thought, we're going to be in debt forever. Like, if this church doesn't, you know, bring in like thousands of people, we're not going to be able to pay the mortgage. Like, God, I don't really know what's going to happen here. And lo and behold, like the next day, they sign the papers and the mortgage. They're in their church building going, yes, this is awesome, but yikes, this is scary. And there's a knock at the door. And there's a person, a developer, who's like, I need to talk to you about your airspace, which many of us don't know about. In downtown, in a block radius, there's usually about 10 or 12 spaces or properties. Each property in most downtown cities are allowed to only build, let's say, 10 stories, 10 levels. So each property is allowed to build that. If you don't build that, somebody else is allowed to purchase that from you. Air, spaces that you'll never use. So it's an old Scientology building. It's an old historical building that the city said, you actually can't build it or replace it. It's a historical building. You have to leave it this way. So you can never go any higher. So the person that came and knocked at the door was buying something that they couldn't even use anyways. And so all of a sudden, through a conversation, they sold their airspace, and all of a sudden they were debt-free the first day they moved into their church. Like, are you kidding me? So let me show you the church here. This is Coastal Church downtown on Georgia Street. Brilliant church. You can't see the big cross, but when you walk down Georgia, there's a 20-foot cross on Georgia Street because God wants to be downtown to reach people. And you can see that building just right across here, like in the background, that really tall building. I've got a 3D kind of image here, or like a skyline in the next photo. You can see. It is the tallest building downtown Vancouver. It is, I wrote it down here because I honestly didn't know. So it's 659 feet. It's 62 stories. It is the tallest building downtown. And because this person wanted to build this big hotel, God made sure that before he built it, he made sure that they owned that church so that he could purchase their airspace so that all of this could happen. Like, this is just crazy. So does God speak? Yes. Did they listen? Yes. Did God guide them? Yes. Did God give them favor? Yes. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. So as we operate our lives and go around and try and accomplish things and do things, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. What is he saying? What is he saying to our church? What is he saying to our camp? What is he saying to you personally? We want to be obedient to that. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. So let's go back and read this one more time. Acts chapter 2 is where we started. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Almost like we are here this morning. We've come together. We're even online together. Good to see you. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. So I guess you could hear, yeah, a violent wind. That's pretty intense. Last night it was pretty blowy around. Came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were seating. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire and separated and rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I'm praying this morning that out of this service together, that something is birthed in you. Every time the Holy Spirit shows up, he creates new things and he does something miraculous. Like through Mary, just, you know, birth of Jesus. Just the Holy Spirit just continues to be creative. So I don't know if there's an area of your life you're like, actually, I don't know where I'm going. I've lost my way. Well, Holy Spirit will guide you. And you're like, I'm kind of confused upstairs. I'm not really sure what's going on. Well, ask Holy Spirit. He'll speak to you. And you're like, I need more truth in my life because there's so many options. I don't even know what truth is anymore. Well, he'll speak to you the truth through his word. And he'll continue to lead and guide us. And just be sensitive to that. Don't know him. Feel him. Know him deep in your soul. Holy Spirit's there. Just be quiet. What is he saying? Let's just take these next few moments. I'm going to pray. Pastor Ben's going to come. He's going to give us some moments of quiet here. So we're just going to reflect for the next 2 minutes. You've heard a lot of, we've done a lot of singing, heard a lot of scripture. You've heard some stories. But what is Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Let's listen to what he's saying. So God, we're just pausing right now. We need guidance. We need direction. We need to know that what we're doing is the right thing. We need to know that where we're going is the right way. Father, it feels like there's so many doors available, so many options. Would you close them all up, the ones that are not you? Would you help us to not waste our time and our energy and our resources? Help us to follow your ways. And we want to enter through your door. And we want to follow you all the days of our lives. Help us to do that. We can't do that on our own. We need you desperately, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.